Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles now. Open your Bible to Psalm 23. As we continue our series titled Rest. God wants us to rest in Him. Amen? That's a wonderful thing about the God we serve. He doesn't leave us on our own. He draws near to us and He gives us rest. And last week, we covered the first layer of rest, which was rest in His provision. In a moment, we're going to read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I don't lack anything. How many know if God is taking care of us, when God takes care of us, He does a very good job. We don't have to worry about the Lord taking care of us. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and He's the shepherd of our souls. And so we can rest in the provision of God. And so today we're going to, that was the first two verses, and today we're going to look at the next two verses in Psalm 23. I'll say this up front before we read. In the first couple of verses, David rests in who God is. He's the shepherd. And then in the second two verses, David rests in how He does things. So we're going to read in the NIV. I have a number of translations today for a very specific reason. We're going to read the first four verses in the NIV, and then we'll read the two focus verses in a couple of other translations because there's a point that I feel like we're supposed to make. So go ahead and put that up. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack, everyone, nothing. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. So this is where we can rest in the provision of God. We lack nothing. And this whole act of Him making us lie down and leading us to quiet waters is so that we can rest. I've got it covered. I've got you taken care of. So just rest. But then it says, okay, this is the second layer. Then He says, He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. That's the NIV. Look at this in the ESV. It says, He restores. Everyone say, restore. He restores my soul. Okay, I believe that this word is a little bit stronger and more accurate than refreshes. Some translations say refresh, others say restore, more say restore than refresh. It says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now look at the Amplified version. This is the last one. Here it says, He refreshes and restores my life. The Amplified is just covering both of them. For today's purposes, we're gonna use the term restore, but we need to know in advance that it also means refresh. Okay? He refreshes and restores my life, myself. Everyone say myself. Okay? Myself. He's talking about self. We'll get into that in a moment. He leads me in paths of righteousness, which means uprightness and right standing with Him, not for my earning it, but for His name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for You are with me, Your rod to protect and Your staff to guide. They comfort me. How many praise God for His beautiful word? Could we praise the Lord just for His word? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I encourage you, read your Bible every day. And when you're really struggling, if you're really going through a tough time, read it out loud. It's powerful. It's medicine just to hear the word of God. It is living and active. It is quick and it is powerful. The word of God is really, really powerful. And so the title of today's message is Rest in His Process. Rest in His Process. Last week it was rest in His provision. This week it is rest in His process, because verses 3 and 4 talk about a process that God takes us through. God takes His people through a process. The term process means to put through the steps of a prescribed procedure. To be put through the steps of a prescribed procedure. How many are open today to be put through the steps of God's prescribed procedure? See, God, He not only takes care of us, but He literally has a plan for us. He knows who He wants to make us. He knows where He wants to take us. That's a tweet, I think. You know? But you have to be open to His process. See that? And you have to rest in His process. Okay, this message is about not squirming when God is taking you through stuff. Okay? And we want to pray today. Okay, before we actually get into the text, we want to pray today that there would be a resting and a yielding. I was talking to Pastor Dave this morning about, you know, sometimes if your child gets a splinter, you know, you bring them over and you get a tweezer and they're like, ah, ah, and they're like flipping out. But you're not flipping out because you know, okay, I got to pull this thing out, you know. Now the child, because they're in pain, they're squirming and they're flipping out. But how many know if you don't get the splinter out, you're not going to get better? So sometimes we have to let God take us through the process. And God is focused on every single person in this room. He's focused on every single person on the planet. But for the sake of this moment, it's don't think for a minute that His eye is not on you, because it is. Don't think that He is not intimately acquainted with you, with the challenges, with the problems, with your past, with your history, with your hurts, with your pains, with your fears, with your dreams. He's intimately acquainted with all of it. And how many know God's way is the best way? So let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time that we could enter into Your presence and worship You. We worship You because You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the Creator of heaven and earth. You're the Master of the universe. You're the Savior of the world. And Lord, we worship You today because You are our Shepherd. And so, Father, I pray that in the next few moments, I pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, oh God, to be quick and powerful, oh God, and that it would move upon every heart here. Oh God, that we would be enabled by Your grace to rest in Your process. Bless this word and bless our time together. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. So God has a process to cure us, to lead us, to guide us. He loves us, and so He takes us through this process. Now, I want to tell you up front what He does. And in God's process, He does three things. Number one, He restores us. Number two, He leads us. And number three, He comforts us. He restores us, He leads us, and He comforts us. So let's look at, first of all, He restores us. Psalm 23:3, it says, He restores my soul. Your Bible might say refreshes. But either way, they are the same word. And God wants to do a work of restoring and refreshing our lives. And the truth of the matter is that we can get away from where we're supposed to be spiritually and emotionally sometimes, and God has to restore us. How many would say amen? Amen. It just happens. Because of life, okay, because of life, we get away from where we're supposed to be spiritually, emotionally, physically, in every sense of the word. And what God wants to do is he wants us to draw near to him so that he can restore us. He takes it upon himself. He knows that the inner man can become damaged. The inner man can become wounded. The inner man can become derailed. Have you ever been derailed? We get damaged, we get wounded, we get derailed, we get distracted. And what we need is to have the Lord come and restore us. I felt like Tuesday the Lord did a work of restoration in my heart. You know, I felt refreshed. I was like, man, only in God can you work more than usual and feel better. Only in God. Because he knows how to restore and refresh our souls. Amen? Amen. Now, when we talk about this issue of restoration, could you put that verse back up for me? When we talk about the issue of restoration, I want everyone to listen very closely. This is primarily about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is primarily about what the Spirit of God does in our lives. I want to tell you in advance that to me, our church would be in huge trouble if it wasn't for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Only the presence of God can restore us in the inner man when we're damaged and we're hurt. And over the years, that's why we have prayer meeting, guys. The reason why we pray on Tuesdays, the reason why we have another ministry called intercession, and they pray on Fridays, and we're praying, God, send your presence, send your spirit, because when people walk through the doors, how many know when the Spirit of God is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there is freedom and there is liberty, hallelujah. But that's the Spirit of the Lord. That's not a man, that's not a choir, that's not a band, that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy God. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. That's what we need. We need the presence of God. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We are lost as a church. We're lost as a people if we do not experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what this is all about. You know, we're here to help facilitate the way, but man, without it, please, look at this quote by Charles Spurgeon. I think this is powerful. This comes right out of his commentary on the book of Psalms. And he says, he restoreth my soul. When the soul grows sorrowful, he revives it. When it is simple, he sanctifies it. When it is weak, he strengthens it. He does it. His ministers could not do it if he did not. Powerful. His ministers, that would be me and any other leader, we can't do anything unless he does it. Unless the Holy Spirit works in ways that only he can work, nothing gets done. Can I get an amen? Amen. Nothing gets done. I mean, that's what it is. Here's what restore means. Restore means to return or renew the inner self, remember myself in the Amplified, to return or renew the inner self that thinks and feels, wills, and desires. There is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of restoration, where the Holy Spirit goes deep down inside of our hearts, and he addresses things that impact us from our childhood. He affects emotional things that got formed. I know sometimes just things get formed wrong in your life. fears and perspectives and paradigms that we take, and all of a sudden, you know, if you learn the wrong thing and you live in it for long enough, it really becomes part of you. Haven't you found that to be true? And then you have a moment of clarity and reality, and you're like, God, this is part of me, but I know that it's not the truth, God. But now I need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to come and change me from the inside out, because I can't change myself. But that's the promise. He restores my soul. Let's say that together. He restores my soul. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Powerful. Listen, I've been watching this, okay? I've been watching this over the years. We always pray, God, when people walk through the doors, let them feel your presence. Let them feel your love. Let them feel, let your Holy Spirit begin to minister to them, because we know that this is true. It's not by might nor by power. It's not by human might or human power. You know, you realize that I'm all for counseling. I'm all for any type of help and ministry that there is. Any type of help available. I believe that God, since He is the author of truth, all truth, anything that's true can minister. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, okay, if psychology or psychiatry or education, right? This is the most educated culture of all time. This is the most psychological. There's more people in therapy, and there's more opportunity to be ministered to from the human level. How many of that would have fixed it? Lots of stuff would be fixed. And I'm not demeaning that, but the truth of the matter is, there are certain things that only the Holy Spirit can fix. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's certain things only God can reach, you know? And so I've watched this over the years. I've watched people come into the church, and they sit in the church, and they just cry for a while. And you know what we do? We just leave them alone. Some people just sit and they cry. Just leave them alone. You know why? Because there's a work of restoration. You know, there's things going on. Last week, about four people came up to me at the end of the service. I think it was the third service. You know, in the third service, by the way, you know, in the third service, I get to talk to people a little bit after church. Don't think I'm rude that when the service is over, I tell you to shake hands and I go in the back, but I got to be back in here in like 15 minutes, so I got to grab some oatmeal and some stuff like that and get right back in to preach again. So just a little disclaimer there. So I got to talk to three or four people, and as I began to talk to them, they immediately started to talk about the process. And one person, my wife was saying this, one person said, you know what, I never cry. I'm not one of those people that cry. But tears today were just beginning to flow. And Chrissy said to him, you're going to cry. Because that's part of the work that the Spirit of God is doing in your life. See, God's presence restores us, bringing tears of assurance, cleansing, and healing. You know, this is what I've watched the Lord do over the years. It's like there's a breaking that comes and a washing that comes. And I want to encourage you, do not resist the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, some people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, they're like, you know, what's going on here? You know, it's like, no, that's God. The Spirit of God is drawing near to you. And when He draws near to you, just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. To your will, Lord, I'll say yes. Maybe we should sing that today, Chrissy. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. God wants to restore. He really does. He really wants to heal. And when it comes to the process of God, here's the thing, guys. First of all, don't rush it. Don't rush the process of God. Okay? Don't step out of it. Don't resist it. He wants to do a work of restoration. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I'm speaking as a pastor now, right? All the time throughout the year, we see God drawing near to people, and people are going, come on, God, don't touch that. Don't touch that. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want you to touch that. No. Trust him. He's the good shepherd. Amen. So God, I've put that thing away for so long, I'm not pulling that out of the closet. But you need to pull that out of the closet. See, because here's what happens. First of all, he restores us. But then secondly, he leads us. But he wants to restore before he leads, right? He doesn't want to take you on this journey all full of all of these things. You miss out. So could you put that, look at what it says. He restores my soul. Then it says, here's his process. He guides me. Everyone say, guides me. The Lord wants to guide us as his people. How many believe that today? How many would say amen? The Lord wants to guide us. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. It's what he wants to do. He wants to lead us. God is a guide. Learning to be led and learning to yield to the Holy Spirit, to the leading of the Holy Spirit, is a major part of Christian growth and Christian fulfillment. If you want fulfillment, how many know you got to let him take you where the fulfillment is going to take place? If you want fulfillment, then you got to go where he has destined for you to go. He wants to take you there, but we have to be led, learn. We have to learn to be led by God. God has always led people. Look at in the Old Testament, he led Israel. But notice this. This is a very interesting thing. In Psalm 77, it says, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Everyone say, not seen. Just because you can't see God doesn't mean that God is not leading you. If you're seeking God, God is leading you. And if God has you parked in a certain place, if he has you camped in a certain area, and you're like, God, could we please move on from this lesson? Could we please move on from this issue? No. God knows when to move on. Look at how it was for the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts, this is very interesting. It's New Testament now. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. He said, let's go preach the word in Asia. He said, no. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. He said, no. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Even in the Apostle Paul's life, he was like, you know what, let's go here. God said, no. Everyone say, it's okay to hear no. It's okay. No, I don't want that person to be your spouse. No, it's okay. I don't want this job for you. I don't want that school for you. I don't want this situation or that circumstance. I don't want you engaged in that activity. The answer is, everyone, no. But I mean, no, when God says no, it's because he's going to lead you to his yes. He's going to lead you to his yes. When God says no, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to rest. We're supposed to rest. I got to wrap this up real quickly, but we were talking to someone last week. Someone came in and saw the building for the first time. And I told them the story about years ago how the head of a corporation promised, committed to buy us a whole city block, a whole high school, okay? And I was sure it was God's will. And I mean, they said, here's the way it goes. They buy the property. They did this actually for another church in the suburbs. They buy the property. They hold it for a year. And then they sell it to you for $1. Okay? A whole high school with a football field, with parking lots, all kinds of stuff. One buckarooski. You think one of you would lend me a buck for that? Right? And guess what? They said yes. I spoke to the president, the CEO of the corporation. They were sending people, they were doing research, and they say, somebody's going to fly there. We want to start negotiations. We're going to buy it. That price, we can do it. Everything is cool, right? Great. I called the other party. They said, yes, we're ready to negotiate. And so the moment came, I called them, and they said, okay, we're going to make this connection. And you know what they said? They said, we sold it to someone else. That was an oh snap moment times to the 10th power. Right? You know why God said no? It's because he wanted us here. Amen? Hallelujah. And what we're going to do now is watch the unfolding of that fulfillment. How do you know this is step one? God wanted us here, you know. How many know when God is in charge of your life, he gets to say, everyone, no. But he says no because he has a yes in store. If you want God's mission, if you want fulfillment, he does have it. He does have. The Bible says, delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God causes us both to will and to do. If a lot of times there are things that you want, that is God's will. He will. God has it all in charge. But you know what we have to do? We have to rest in his process. We have to rest in his leading. Now, while he's leading us, while the Lord is leading us, there's some unique things that happen. He also comforts us. But it's not what you think at face value. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They, everyone, comfort me. Part of God's process is taking us through these places because he wants to comfort us. Now, we know that a valley is a dark and shadowy place. It's a place that most often we don't understand. It's a place that very often we have the propensity to get afraid or to struggle. But God does this because he wants us to learn how to trust him. And even when things go wrong, God says, don't worry, I will comfort you. I'll comfort you. Now look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and everyone, and the God of all. He's the God of all comfort. Who comforts us in all our troubles So that, everyone say, so that. Here it is. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. There is a cycle to the life of a Christian. We go through stuff. I've said this so many times. Our process becomes someone else's shortcut. Part of being a child of God is, how many know we are called to have the ministry of comfort? How many want to be an instrument of healing to others? God doesn't waste our suffering. He doesn't waste our hurt, waste our pain. But when we allow him to comfort us, then it gives us his ministry. We become his hands extended. It's a mystery. I don't understand it all. I wish that was one of those assignments that we didn't necessarily have to get. You know? But we get it. And you know what? How many know when we comfort people, when we get out of ourselves, we become like God? He makes us like him. And so there's this cycle of receiving from God, and then we turn around and give it away. Literally, through the hardship that we go through, God actually transforms us into his ministers. That's what he does. He makes us his ministers. Can I encourage you today? I don't have this verse. Maybe I'll have it for the last service, but we're going to close now. There's a verse that says, those who walk in darkness, don't light your own torch. Don't take matters into your own hands just because you don't like what's going on. You know, your life, God will keep us and he'll comfort us. There's something beautiful to God when we go through difficult things and we say, God, I trust you. I rest in you, God. I love you. There's something powerful when we say, like this song, I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes. Where you lead me, I will go. Hallelujah. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. As they continue to sing, if the Holy Spirit is moving upon your heart and you need restoration today, I want you to slip out of your seat and come to the altar today. Come on, come on. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is available to us. Slip out of your seat, come. Don't be embarrassed. That's why we're here today, is because God wants to do what he does. A work of restoration, a work of healing, a work of comfort. Bring, instead of running from God, instead of trying to rush, instead of fighting with God and struggling, how about you come and surrender and say, I'll say yes to the Lord. Come on, let's worship him. Tell him you trust him. We bless you, God. We bless you. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be honored, oh God, because you're in charge. You do all things well, oh God. You don't make mistakes, oh God. We trust you, we trust you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you because your word tells us that it is your disposition, it is your heart to restore and to guide and to comfort, oh God. That is the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, oh God. And today, Lord, by faith, we choose to rest in what you're doing. We rest in what you're doing. God, some of us, oh God, some people here are in a valley, oh God, a valley of shadows they can't see. But Lord, they receive your comfort. We pray for your comfort, oh God. Some people are weary, oh God. Maybe even have come into the building a little bit damaged, hurt, oh God. Lord, we trust in your restoration, God. Restore by your mighty power. And Lord, even for those that are longing for fulfillment, Lord. God, we choose to trust in your leading and in your guiding. We pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that not only can we rest in your provision, God, we know that we can rest in your process. I pray that as we go from this place, I pray that this time of communion, communing with you, Lord, I pray that it would continue right into the car, right into maybe a walk in the park today, oh God. Wherever we go, some people will go to work today, God. I pray for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your nearness. Thank you for the promise that tells us that we can enter into your rest. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, could we praise him? Come on, let's put our hands together and praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.